I'm Michael Cortese of Noble Spirit in Pittsfield, New Hampshire.
And I'm Charles Epting of HR Harmer in Midtown Manhattan.
And this is Conversations with Philatelists.
Michael, one thing I've seen a couple of people mention in the feedback we've gotten is that people want to hear a little bit about us. Here we are asking people these questions and trying to see into the future of the hobby, you know, asking them to look into their crystal ball about where, you know, the direction things are going to go, you know, in a post-COVID philatelic world. But I think it would be great for us to, I mean, you and I know each other, but maybe let the listeners get to know us a little bit as well. So how did you get your start in philately?
Typical story. My mother and father are both immigrants to this country. When I was 3 years old, they moved over from England. They left their business behind and kind of said, what are we going to do now? What do you want to do? My father he'd never worked for anyone else. He'd just been started his own business as a gun shop, car dealership selling exotic cars. So he decided, well, I've been collecting coins and stamps since I was 8 years old. I'm going to start doing that. So he started putting in ads in papers, buying locally from people and then splitting up the collections and sending them to different auction houses and receiving checks that way. That was in 1993. About 5 years later, eBay came out and he kind of had this idea, why send it off to other people when I can take photos of it myself and sell my own material myself. And he started that. I don't think he started with the traditional model that we have, that we incorporate now, where we start everything at 99 cents. He built up a customer base, listing items for specific prices. And then as we built a customer base over the years, he switched it to 99 cents auctions. At 8 years old, it's kind of the same age he started collecting, he brought me into it, sat me down next to him and showed me how to use a Scott catalog. Had me pick out the designs to find the stamps, and that kind of got me hooked. I never really caught the coin bug from him. It was always just purely stamps. So from 8 years old, I've been photographing stamps, kind of looking at their design. And then as I got older, I was able to understand the value of them more and started learning the history behind them and started preparing them for sale. And that's kind of how I got my way into the business here at 22, I think, or 23. I literally just Googled young stamp collectors because there was no one I knew of my age who was doing this alongside of me. Of course, there are all over the country, all over the world, but I didn't know of it. I found the Young Philatelic Leaders Fellowship, contacted Alex. He was more than happy to welcome me in and brought me to my first show in Milwaukee in 2013, I think 2013 that was. And it's been smooth sailing, not uphill, smooth sailing.
The exact opposite of what you're trying to say.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been smooth sailing ever since then. We 350, 400,000 transactions on eBay, over 100,000 positive feedback. You know, we really, really support eBay because they've really supported us as a organization, as a dealer of stamps, if you will. So that's kind of how we got our start. And 5 years ago, we moved into the building that I'm in now after a couple key consignment deals that we made with some large dealers around the country. It allowed us to buy a larger facility. We went from 2 employees to 20, and now we've got a sizable organization selling stamps online.
That's fantastic. And I love hearing, the seeds were planted obviously with your family and your father, but mm-hmm. how the YPLF, I'm sure sort of helped make you feel, again, when you talk about finding other young people, they're out there. There's just no way we would ever come across them. We wouldn't have met if it weren't for social media and the YPLF. So I think it's great to hear about how that, again, the business was there for you to come into, but it sounds like for you to find your own way, it really took some of that camaraderie and companionship.
Yeah. Well, not only that is that I'd never been to a stamp show before. And at stamp shows, we've met probably half of our consigners, half of the people that we do business with now, I've met directly at a stamp show. So Alex bringing me to my first stamp show, introducing me to the actual philatelic world, has allowed our business to flourish by just the connections that we're making. Sometimes we've had to travel 2,000 miles across the country just to meet someone that was 100 miles from us in New Hampshire. That turned out to be a terrific deal, but because we hadn't had an introduction to them.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So what about you?
It's interesting. You've been around this since you were very young, and it's a family business. And I'm the exact opposite. I collected just about everything growing up, whether it was fossils or books or baseball cards, you name it, except for stamps, coins even. Mm-hmm. Never had any interest in stamps. Just never really. I don't know. Just for whatever reason, that was the one gap in my collecting interests. Until I got to college, I was studying history in college and very interested in the 1920s and 1930s, and wondered what kind of stamps they would have been using at the time. Went on eBay and found out you could buy. Maybe I even bought from you guys. I don't know, but I found out you could buy 100 stamps for $1. I thought stamps were, you see stamps on the news, the inverted Jenny, and I thought stamps were for rich people. And here I was, a poor, starving college student who could buy hundreds upon hundreds of stamps. You could buy, like the entirety of the 1960s or 70s in stamps for pennies. And I was just fascinated. So all of my fraternity brothers thought I was very strange. They made a lot of excuses and a lot of apologies for me when girls would come over to the fraternity house because there's this guy working on his stamp collection. So it really made me very popular at school. But I got bitten by the bug. I was 19 or 20 years old. I was not raised with this. No one in my family collects. It was really something I had to discover on my own. So that's how I got collecting. And like yourself, I Googled, are there other young people who do this? Am I weird for doing this? And I found the YPLF. That's how I got to know Alex. And Gretchen Moody was at the APS at the time. Yep. She was the education coordinator. And I joined the YPLF. My first show was Hartford 2014. So a couple of years after your first show. And I just fell in love with it. I said, this is amazing. I want to keep traveling. I want to keep collecting stamps. So the way I got into my current situation, I received a letter in the mail that said, your free trip to Monaco. And I promptly threw it away because, bam, nobody gets a free trip to Monaco.
I did the exact same thing.
I was like, it's nothing. So I'm hanging out with a couple of my philatelic friends, and they were like, hey, are you going to Monaco with us? And I said, what are you guys talking about? They said, you should have gotten an invite. And to explain, Alex Hyman is a member of the Club du Monte Carlo, which is a very prestigious limited membership club based out of Monte Carlo. And the president of the Club du Monte Carlo, Patrick Macellis, was very generous about inviting young people from around the world, not just America, but Belgium and India and the UK to come to. There's a stamp show in Monaco every other year in November or December. That is the cream of the crop of stamp shows. It's unlike a stamp. It's the Rolls Royce of stamp shows. So Patrick was very generous about inviting young people who Alex would identify as being particularly interested and committed. Alex identified me. I misinterpreted the letter. So luckily they were able to get me another application. And I was able to travel to Monaco. That was in December of 2015. So this is maybe a year and a half after my first stamp show. And at this point I had no idea I did not want to go into the business. I was a collector. I maybe wanted to exhibit, maybe wanted to write some articles, wanted to keep with philately, but had no intention of, no interest in going into the hobby professionally. So I go to Monaco. While there, I was introduced to two gentlemen, Dieter Michelson and Carl Louis, who are the managing directors of Heinrich Kohler Auction House and Corin Fila Auction House in Germany and Switzerland, respectively. And they said, are you interested in coming over to Germany to intern at an auction house? And I said, I'm up for it. I'll try it. I don't think this is what I want to do, but if I can. They said, well, we'll take care of accommodations and everything. Why don't you just come see what it's like? And I, at this point, still had no real expectations that I would go into the business. So I'm over in Germany in January of 2016. Within 3 or 4 days of being in their offices in Germany at Heinrich Kohler, I said, I have to do this. I want to do this for the rest of my life. I can't see myself doing anything else. I thought maybe I would go to graduate school or something. I didn't really know yet. And then this fell in my lap and I said, I want to do this. And they explained to me that they had an auction house in Southern California, coincidentally 12 miles from where I was living. Wow. So I had to travel 6,000 miles to get a job 12 miles away. Funny, like you said, you have to travel cross country to meet a consigner. So I had to go to Germany to get a job in Orange County, California. I joined the company full time as soon as I got back to the States. That was right before the New York 2016 International Show. So when we talked to Wade, that show was very special to me because that was my my first real big stamp show I went to as an employee of an auction house. Mm-hmm. So I've been with H.R. Harmer a little bit more than 4 years now. In the last year and a half or so, we decided that our company was founded in New York City. We've been in California about a dozen years or so, and we wanted to return to our roots, come back to New York City. So basically we decided we were going to pack up shop as soon as our lease ended in Tustin, California. As great as California was, again, I'm born and raised Southern California. I'm always going to have a soft spot for it, but there's something about Midtown Manhattan that is, you know, spiritually in the stamp world, Manhattan is where the big sales happen, the big deals go down. It's where, as with most things in life, Manhattan is, so important for the trade. So that was in May of last year. We packed up shop in California, moved cross country. I've been in New York a little bit more than a year now with H.R. Harmer. And like you said, it's been mostly smooth sailing. Of course, with any job like this, there's going to be trials and tribulations. But for the most part, it's just been the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I can't see myself doing anything else. So that was, again, it oddly took me, traveling to another continent to take a job in my own backyard. But I'm so blessed and so fortunate that I did.
Well, that's how it goes. And that's why these stamp shows are so important.
You never know what's going to happen. You're right. Yeah. You go and maybe you meet someone who you broker a deal with, or maybe you just meet someone you become friends with. It doesn't always have to be. But Alex, for making those connections, and again, so many of the donors to the YPLF, or somebody like Patrick, who is so generous with bringing. Yeah. You went to Monaco the next, so 2017.
Yeah.
I saw you in Monaco.
Yeah, that's where we met the first time.
That's where we met the first time. That's right. I thought I'd bumped into you before that. But no, we met in Monaco for the first time. So again, you're right. These shows are so important for bringing us together. One of those things where you just say yes sometimes and see what happens.
Yeah, you got to. You got to. And I'd advise the same for anyone who's considering going to their first stamp show or contacting the YPLF.
You just don't know what's going to happen. And contacting Alex with the YPLF was the first domino that fell. Little did I know that when I submitted my application, it was indirectly going to move me to New York. I didn't know what I was getting. Had I known, maybe I would have been more hesitant. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think the importance of the YPLF and shows and just reaching out to people and getting in touch with people, you never know what doors it's going to open.
Yeah. Everybody's very welcoming in this hobby.
Absolutely. Almost without exception, everyone really wants to do whatever they can for you.
Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty much our stories.
It's great to hear your background. Maybe we can do this again sometime and talk about our collecting interests, our dealing interests, what it is. Let you and I get to know each other a bit more and introduce ourselves to the listeners a bit more. Yeah. But I didn't even know your background. Again, we've been friends for years now, and I didn't know your exact story, so that's fascinating for me to hear as well. Hopefully for
well, we'd only too. before doing this, we'd been friends for years, but we'd only met three times before.
That's right. I see you on social media. I see you on Instagram every day, so I feel like I feel like I know you. But that's right. In New York,
in Monaco, New York, and then Nebraska.
New York and Nebraska. Yeah. What a weird, again, that exactly. sort of sums up the stamp world. We've met three times in three completely random places.
Yeah.
But, through the power of the internet and everything, we feel like old friends.
Right. And now this is happening.
And now this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So this is great. And again, it's good to learn more about you.
Yeah.
And you as well. Let's do it again sometime. One of these, mini episodes where I'd love to hear more about the ins and outs of your business. What do you do on a regular day? Let's talk more about what it is we do next time.
Yeah. operational.
Yes. Call a podcast operational. That won't put anyone to sleep. That'll. Exactly. Maybe you can talk about invoicing and maybe some tax regulations and stuff too while you're at it.
Yeah.
Operational. Let's talk about what it's like to work for Noble Spirit, what it's like to work for H.R. Hummer.
Yeah, we'll do that on the next tiny mini episode. Sounds great. Well, for those listening, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify now, and YouTube.
And Podbean.
Podbean, yes. And for those who want to reach out to us, flatterlypodcast@gmail.com. And we should have a website now.
Website
by the time this launches. Yeah.
Link will be in the description.
Link will be in the description.
I've watched countless YouTubers say that. Mm-hmm. I've never said it myself.
Link
in bio. Michael, this was fun. Let's do it again soon.
All right. Until next time.
Sounds good.